Hey guys, good morning. How are you? Happy Mom's Day. Yeah. Woohoo. I would never want to be a woman. I'm going to go on record. Not for me, man. No way. Not even in my radar. Not a chance. Okay, and I'll tell you why in a few minutes here. But definitely echo what Mary had shared, all the volunteers. You know, it wasn't our conferences. The Graham Cook Conference wasn't ours. The Wailing Wall wasn't ours. We didn't sponsor it. We just opened our facility and let him use it. And of course, what that means, if somebody comes over and uses your backyard, you got to cut the grass. You know, you got to get it ready. You have to service them. And that's what you all did. So I want to echo, thank you. Some of the ushers were here like 11, 12 o'clock at night. They're volunteering their time. And you guys are just simply amazing. That's what I want to say, okay? So happy Mom's Day, and we are, of course, aware of the fact that some of you, your mamas are in heaven, and my mom's in heaven by faith. Yes! You know, we didn't grow up Christian. We didn't grow up born again. I was the first one born again in my family, and it's a long story. Won't bore you with that, but I believe she's in heaven, and I'm going to get to see her again. So I'm not taking her out for dinner. It's kind of nice. I don't have to worry about that anymore, you know? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. All right. Okay. You got about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I mean, there's like a bunch of front row seats empty. And it'd be great to have people fill them because I don't like speaking to empty chairs. And I see empty chairs back there, and that's fine. But when they're in front of me, it's like, ooh, put somebody in the chair. So if you wouldn't mind, that'd be great. Just fill up the front. That'd be awesome. Thank you so much for putting up with my little idiosyncrasies, you know. Okay, great. All right, let's get to the word this morning. I've got a Mother's Day message. Now, I've been pastoring here at the church. This is my 36th year. I finally figured it out. 36 years. That's a long time. Yeah, only seven here. Seven here. I'm a youngster here. 36 total. And prior to that, of course, I was an associate in Florida for 2 years. And then prior to that, I was an associate here at this church for 2 years. So if you add them all up, I got 40 years under my belt. Okay, that's a lot of ministry time, right? And I have preached 35 Mother's Day sermons. Think I'd get it down by now, right? Someone said, yeah, you probably go in your drawer, pull out one that you haven't done for a while, dust it off, and do it again, right? Absolutely not. I can tell you, in 36 years, I've never preached the same Mother's Day message twice. Come on. And I figured I could, though, because two things. Number one, you wouldn't remember. If I go back far enough, you'd be like, wow, that was great revelation. I gave them that 5 years ago. The other thing is, if I went back like in the West, I could go back like 20 years. And most of the people that are there today weren't there 20 years ago. They wouldn't have any idea. But I really feel like God wants to give a progressive word when it comes to mothers. And I've got a revelation today, and I'm going to do my best to share it. If you'll give me about 38 minutes. I know we have to go to dinner. All right, we have to get to dinner, take mom to dinner, and all of that stuff. So we're going to hurry, okay? Romans chapter 8, you got your Bible? Let's open it up, Romans chapter 8. I got so much to tell you, I wish I could, about what God's doing behind the scenes. I can't do it right now, though, but trust me, you want to stay plugged in. Some powerful things are happening in the community, inroads into all kinds of good things that God has for us. Romans chapter 8, I'm going to read verses 1 to 4. What a great scripture. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You got to get that in your spirit because the devil likes to condemn you. The devil likes to make you feel guilty. Put your hand in the cookie jar and then points it out. Aha! Look at your hands in the cookie jar. And he just keeps reiterating the fact that you stole the cookie. All right? There's no therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who did not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Look at verse 2. Verse 2 of Romans chapter 8. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me what? Free from the law of sin and death. Now let me just get this straight, mom, so you know. When you gave birth to your children, You didn't have to teach them about the law of sin and death. They came as experts. It doesn't take long for the carnal appetite and dictates of the flesh to manifest, right? Whether it's, that's mine, or pop their little brother in the head because he won't give them the ball. I mean, it doesn't take long. Look at verse 3. Paul continues in his discourse. He said, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. And this is a real key part of the verse. You want to really put this in your mind. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Now that's a real important theological point. Because if you ask the question, how did God save us from sin? You say, well, he sent Jesus to die on the cross. Ah, he sent Jesus in the likeness of sinful flesh. But notice this, Jesus never sinned. Okay? He was in the likeness of sinful flesh. But in order to usurp the established law, there has to be an introduction of a higher law. But you can't come in apart from the law that has already been established in order to establish a new law. You have to come under the dominion of the established law and be able to fulfill its demand and then introduce a higher law. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Now that's a key verse as we relate it to Mom's Day. Look at verse 4. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Okay, let's read the rest of it. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Let me just make this statement. Christianity is a spiritual life. Okay? You cannot, apart from the Holy Spirit's leading, be a Christian. Christianity includes Holy Spirit. It's like you can't have iced tea without a tea bag. All right? You can't have Christianity without the Holy Spirit. This is a spirit-led lifestyle. Somebody said to me the other day, I heard that you're Pentecostal. You guys speak in tongues. I said, listen, if you're going to relegate this whole thing based on speaking in tongues, if you're going to package it and say that we're, quote, spirit people or Pentecostal people because we see my tie, tie my tie, you know, we can get tongue-tied. Listen, that's not really what we're talking about. We are full gospel because we believe in the Spirit-led life. We believe in Holy Spirit. So in any moment, any time, wherever you are, Holy Spirit can speak to you, and you have the option to either obey or disobey, to move in His promptings, to be able to go to somebody and say, hey, I just think I heard a God say, and can I pray? Or are you going through this right now? God's got a plan for your life. Or I just have a scripture that came to my heart when I looked at your face, and I want to impart that to you. That's living under the influences of the Holy Spirit, right? So we want to be Spirit-led Christians. But I want you to go to John chapter 3 and verse 5. Ladies, I want to introduce you to the co-laboring of Jesus. Jesus not only said we have to be born again, but he said something peculiar to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Remember in John chapter 3, Nicodemus came by night to talk to Jesus like, what's up? You're doing all these signs and wonders. You must be from God. Something is really different about you. And Jesus responded to him and he said this, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, conjunctive word ties the two together. In other words, you can't have one without the other. He said, you have to be born of the water. Okay, moms, Jesus just enlisted you in spiritual life because he's given women the ability to give birth. What a miracle. What a blessing. That's why I'm glad I'm not a woman. I've been in the labor room a couple times, four times, been there with a couple of my kids. I'm like, you know what? They said, you want to come in? No, I don't want to come in. I've been there, done that, let my son go in. That's his job now. And why? Because it's just intense, right? How many know it's intense? If you don't know it's intense, you haven't had one. Okay, unless one is born of the water, natural birth, and the Spirit, spiritual birth, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So now all of a sudden there's a mandate on women. There's an ability and an investment in women. I believe mothers have this ability beyond what even fathers have. Jesus included them in the process of spiritual rebirth. Now mothers not only possess the ability to give natural life, but I believe also in a unique way to give spiritual life to their children. So ladies, I want that activated in you today. I want you to see that as a commission from God, and I want you to know that all through your life, you are spiritual birthers. That's why the old term in the church used to be called mothers in the church. When you had a mother in a church, normally she was like in charge, right? A mother in the church traditionally was one that would tell you, hey, you're not dressed appropriately, or some other kind of deal, right? But no, I'm not talking about that legalistically. I'm talking about mothers in the church who know how to labor and give life in the spirit. They know how to bring life out of something that is laboring or is pregnant, but yet they know how to bring it forth. And so this is a natural ability. Romans chapter 6, verses 4 and 5 talks about when we're born again, that we walk in newness of life. Say that word, newness of life. Newness of life means that it's not like the life you're born with. When you and I are born in the natural, as cute as you may be, swaddling clothes and all, and the cute little pictures on the nursery wall, the bassinet nice and clean, all of your diaper bag in order, and it appears as though things are going to be wonderful, it doesn't take you long to realize that birthing children is messy. And it continues to be that way. But you realize that the end product is worth it. And you are willing to accept the responsibility of the process because you know what you're facing is only temporary. Moms, I want to encourage you. Just like you birth naturally, you birth spiritually. And don't become weary in well-doing, because your process of bringing birthing of that child out of the natural into the spiritual is part of the commission that Jesus has given you, and the equipping of the Holy Spirit, not only regulated to your own natural children, but every woman in here as a spiritual mother in the kingdom of God can begin birthing those around them and young people that come into their life, and you are influencers for the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? Now, the Christian life is one in the spirit. And apart from the Holy Spirit, only thing that remains is the carnal appetites. And they're pretty strong. My little grandson, Lou, was over the house yesterday, and his older sister, Emma. Now, Emma's 9. And Louie is 18 months. Now, they're about to have another child. His name's Benjamin. He doesn't know that yet, but we called him Benjamin. Now, 18 months, he walks around like he's the only one in the room. Emma was lying on the floor looking at an iPhone, and there was a movie she was watching, and it was, you know, playful, loud, animated, and Louis, it caught his ear. So he got down on the floor. Emma held it close to her. He put his head in between her head and the screen to see what was on the screen. When he determined that he liked it and wanted it, he grabbed the iPhone from Emma. Emma screams, "No, Louie, I'm watching that." And he went, "Ugh," pop. And I looked at Rachel and I said, "Did you teach him to do that? Is that how you treat your husband when he doesn't give you what you want? You pop him one on the side of the head?" She said, "No, I've never done that." I said, "Where did he get that pattern?" It comes stamped in the heart through the natural birth. Isn't that true? Ladies, you know what I'm talking about, right? So some people say, "Well, you can't spare the rod. You spoil the child. You got to beat that stuff out of them." Honey, beating your children will not change their carnal nature. There's got to be a spiritual birth, an introduction to a new law, which is a law of the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. Amen? All right, now that I got that out of the way, we have to ask ourselves the question, do I want my child to grow up to be self-empowered or spirit-empowered? If they're going to be self-empowered, they're going to have to follow the dictates of the law. It's a law, it's an established pattern of sinful flesh. And it's bumps and bruises. But if you can birth them into the spirit, they're going to now be spirit empowered. And even though they're in the world, they're not going to be of the world, they're going to realize they don't play according to the world's rules. They realize that they answer to a higher kingdom. But unless they're introduced to that kingdom, they're going to try to take your Christian principles and make it work in the carnal appetites. How many know that doesn't work? That's why a lot of us today are struggling with the old man. A lot of Christianity has been designed to resuscitate and keep alive the old man. Look, it's dead. Bury him. It's morbid to keep that corpse alive in your closet, in your bedroom. It's time to take the old you and bury him. That's what Romans 6 says. We have been buried with Christ, right? And we have been raised in how? Newness of life. Let's discover the newness of life. Let's put more effort in discovering the newness of life. We know what the old life is like. I know what my old life is like. I don't have to be reminded. I mean, it's easy. See, we always regulate our life based on the present and our past, when God's trying to take us from the present into our future. We're always repenting from something we did wrong, when God's really wanting us to repent toward what He has done right. It's a big mentality difference. And we have to introduce our children to this new law of life in the Spirit. And moms, you've been tagged with the responsibility. Now, guys, don't get too comfortable, because June 13th is only a month away. We will come back and help dads understand responsibility as well. But again, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It is a woman's responsibility, a mother's responsibility, to introduce her child to live a life that's free from guilt and condemnation. Whew. Let me tell you about my mother. She's a sweet lady. Bless her heart. May her soul rest in peace. She's redeemed. She's a new creation. However, prior to that happening, she tried to control me through guilt and condemnation. Always tried to make me feel guilty. So I lived under guilt and condemnation. Now imagine if I was a born-again Christian. Jesus has freed me from all condemnation and guilt, but yet I'm living in an environment where I'm made to feel guilty and condemned in order to control my behavior. In other words, I'm going to have a hard time in the adaptation process of the spirit of law of life in Christ Jesus. I might be in the church, but I am living as if I'm still under the law of sin and death. I remember my mother one time, I was a teenager and I was getting pretty spunky. And, you know, I said, I was getting ready to leave. She said, where are you going? I said, I'm going out. What do you mean you're going out? Where are you going? I said, look, I'm just going out. I'll be back. You know, I'll be back in time that you want me to be back. So I started to go out the door and she started screaming at me. And I, of course, started screaming back at her. I wasn't saved, y'all, okay? I didn't get saved till later. But here's what she did to get her point across. She grabbed her heart and she said, you're going to be the death of me. You're going to kill your own mother. Is that what you want? Do you want to kill your mother? And I'm like, oh, boy. You know, guilt and condemnation. Now, some of you may have never experienced that from your mother. And if you are, I pray for deliverance. That's a demon spirit. But that's kind of what my mom did to control me. It was guilt and condemnation. Ladies, God has commissioned you to bring your children from the natural guilt and condemnation life into verse 2, which is not guilt and condemnation, but it's toward a life in the Spirit. How many know what Corinthians 3:17 says? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. Liberty. Freedom. Freedom in the Spirit. Freedom. And freedom is where God wants us to live. So moms, you have been given the idea of bringing your children out from under the law of sin and death, birthing them into the Spirit. See, when you brought that baby home, that was only phase one. You birthed them in the natural. Now there's an and the Spirit. Now you birth them in the natural. Now birth them in the Spirit. But you're going to have to labor like you labored in the natural. You're going to have to labor to bring them into the spiritual, because there's going to be a resistance in the birth canal, the formation process. There is another mother in this world, a spirit of this world, who wants to form your daughter or your son after the dictates of the law of the sin and death, and is going to do its very best to form it into that life. But you're the mother. Listen, you got to get up in the morning and say, I am woman! In other words, I'm mother. And I am not going to allow my children to be formed after the things of this world. But Jesus empowered me, according to John 3 and 5. He equipped me and He's given me the ability to birth this baby into the Spirit and into the law of the life that is in Christ Jesus. I just want to serve you notice, devil. I will not be denied. I am the mother of the year in the kingdom of God. Come on. You got to get an attitude. Now, I never really understood women, you know. My wife, she had some pretty bad labor times, you know. I don't know. And then a few months passed, and she's like, I think you want to have another one? I'm like, you were like cussing in the labor room, and we weren't saved for it. Come on. I said, you said, if you ever touch me again. Do you remember that conversation? And now you want another one? It's amazing, isn't it? How stringent the battle. How ugly. How difficult. And then a few months removed, it's like, let's do this again. They have short memories, but how many of us guys go, baby, I don't want no more kids. You are going to have to know, going into this, to birth your child in the Spirit, it's not going to be pleasant. It's not going to be easy. You're going to have to get your breathing down. You're going to have to find your focal point. You're going to have some support in the labor room. Come on, guys. You're going to have to understand that this is a great call that's upon your life. You have to realize that perseverance is what's called for here. You have to realize that there's a real devil trying to take your child's life. And you know that you're the mother and nobody touches my babies. You've got to get that attitude that I am going to birth this girl in the Spirit. Well, I talked to a young couple this morning, first service. It's so cute to see young couples come to church. They have these baby carriers, and then they have these bags. Anybody have a bag in here? Do you have a bag? Oh, let me see your bag. Yeah, you don't leave home without it, do you? It's a bag. And I stopped this young guy today, and I said, hey, happy Sunday. I said, happy Mom's Day to the woman. And I said, he was carrying it. And I said, do you know what that is, don't you? And he goes, well, yeah, but go ahead, tell me. I said, it's a diaper bag. And I said, isn't that amazing? That you come and go everywhere anticipating a mess. And yet you still go. Now, if I could open this bag, I may not even have to open it. But I got in my car this morning, and Tina was watching the children, which she often does multiple times a week, and changed one of the kids' diapers in my car. And when I got in this morning to come to church, it was real ripe because it was 87 degrees yesterday. When I sat down in the car, I said, what is that smell? Smells like spoiled milk or something. I said, this is terrible. She goes, yeah. I said, do you have something to put it in? No, let me just, these are all clean in here, aren't they? You don't have like, You don't have any messy ones in here. Not yet, but you know that you could, right, at any given moment. All right. Now, it's called a diaper bag because you anticipate messes. Now, moms, birthing your children into the Spirit, you're going to have to hang your diaper bag on your shoulder and realize that just like in the natural processes, in the spiritual processes, they're going to mess up. But what causes a woman? Now, look, my children stink and your children stink are two different levels of stank. I can change my own kid's diaper, but if I have to change yours, I'm going to have to wait till church is over and say, they just messed a few minutes ago here. I have a hard time getting in your children's mess. But as my own child, it really doesn't bother me. I can take a wet wipe, and even if it's not big enough, and my hand slips off and gets in the mess. You know what I'm talking about? Like, oh. You know, it's all right. It's all right. A little air freshener. Why is that? I notice mom's carrying a baby and a bag, affectionately known as a diaper bag. There's an anticipation of a mess impending. And then when they come to you, you know, like these little ones, I've noticed some of my grandkids, you can tell it's time for a change by the height of the diaper. You know, sometimes it's like supposed to be here and it's kind of like here. You ever notice that? And when they walk, they're doing this. It's like, anybody see that besides me? And moms come in there and go, come here, baby. And pick that child up, look over at the husband and go, And take that baby and clean it up. And don't even think about it because they realize something. And if you're going to birth your children in the Spirit, get this truth. Here it is. That when you come to a smelly, messy moment, pick them up, clean them up, don't condemn them, don't guilt-ridden them, but cause them to look to the future of the law of life that's in the Lord Jesus Christ and realize their future is more important than their present state. You get it? Your present state is not final. You know, I couldn't quite understand some of our children. I won't say my grandchildren because I don't want them to think that I'm always watching. But my kids, you know, you're trying to potty train. You know the process of you do this here in this thing right here. You do it there. You got it? Do you have to go to the bathroom? Uh-huh. You go. You take them there. Okay, go. Go. Tinkle, tinkle, go. Are you done? Yeah, I'm done. You take them off. Put them up. And they're playing. Not 2 minutes later, they're all wet. And you're like, what are you doing? Well, how did you feel that wetness was more comfortable and becoming of you than going in there like I just showed you and I just took you there? But isn't it normal for children to wet their pants? Moms, if you're going to birth your children, you better bring a diaper bag. You better realize that their future is more important than their present state. Children birthing in the Spirit come with messes and mess ups and stink. Don't let that repulse you to the point where you don't see their future. Don't make their present state bigger than their destiny that God has given them. And you birth them right into the call of God. Secondly, you need to learn early in their lives to teach them to talk. Now, my grandson, Louis, knows sign language, but he won't talk. So I'll say, Papa, and he looks at me. I said, watch my mouth, Papa. He won't say it. I'll say, do you want more? He'll go, that's more in sign language. I said, you know that. Why don't you say Papa? And we're all competing. Nana's trying to get him to say Nana first. Papa's trying to get him to say Papa first. Right? He's got Mom down. Mom. 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 He goes to his dad. He goes, Mom. 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 I'm like, dude, you are crosswired here. But what is the truth about it? You know what parents do? They try to teach them the language of their future. Spiritual birthing of a child, you better teach them the language of their future. When they say, I can't, you go, oh, no, 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 that's not how we talk in this kingdom. We say we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I can't. Wrong. You didn't say that word right. It is, we can do all things through Christ. You teach them the language of the future of the kingdom of which they will live in. We have a lot of kids today in church, but speaking the language of a different world. We have a lot of adults doing the same thing because we've not been birthed into the kingdom. Now, I'm going to close in a couple of minutes. Don't get too excited, but that's going to be a few minutes. But I just want to bring this to a head. In verse 4 of Romans 8, if you really don't get anything else, get this. God redeemed us by sending Jesus in the likeness of sinful flesh. Whew, that's powerful. In the likeness of sinful flesh. That's why cults today deny the deity of Jesus. They say, if they deny Jesus as God, born of a virgin, it is a demon spirit. It is an antichrist spirit. Why? Because the only way sin could be defeated is for Jesus to put on flesh and live above the law of sin and death, thus fulfilling it. If this is the case, how do your children get saved? Now, here we go. I'm gonna challenge some of our traditional thinking. Well, you got to bring them to Sunday school. You got to bring them to church. All that's good. But until, like Christ who invaded sinful flesh, Christ, Christos, the anointed one in his anointing, the Word of God that became flesh invades their flesh, then there's not a higher law of life in the Spirit. There is only a cognitive recognition of Christian principle, but living under the law of sin and death. And so by the time they get 18, they're out of here. They have to be introduced and have an invasion in their spirit, an invasion in their life of Christ in them, the hope of glory. That's why Deuteronomy chapter 6 says this, verse 6 and 7. When you get up in the morning, talk to them about Jesus. When you walk along the way, hey, Jesus! When you get to noontime, talk about Jesus. Middle of the afternoon, give them a little Jesus for tea. In the evening, before they lay their head down on the bed, give them more Jesus. Why? Because the Word of God has to invade their flesh. The Word of God has to invade their flesh. The way you and I were saved is that Christ invaded sinful flesh, yet never sinned. And it's Christ in us, the invasion of the Spirit of Christ in us, that will override, supersede the law of sin and death and introduce us to the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. It's absolutely vital. Absolutely vital. Hebrews 5 verse 8 and 9 tells us this. Christ was perfected by living in submission to the Spirit. Sweetheart, we don't talk like that here. That's the kingdom that's everybody else's in. We're not in that kingdom. We're in a different kingdom. That's a language of an inferior kingdom. You do not want to be introduced to the kingdom of God and not be able to talk to others. You're a foreigner in the land. You got to learn the language of the kingdom. Where do they learn the language? From your mother and your father. It's time for us to get serious about teaching our kids how to talk Jesus. Yes. I'm serious, folks. This is what it's all about. And quit condemning them because they had a dirty diaper. Let me just give you a prophecy. Your children will mess up. All right, that's it. I'm not having any more. You wouldn't say that. You welcome them with tears. You thank God for their lives. But it's in those moments of rebellion. It's in those moments of dirty diapers when they ought to know by now. And I just took you to the toilet. What are you doing? Weren't you thinking? How does this, what did you think about anybody else but yourself when you did that? I got some good experience at that stuff. The facts are this. I'm not an 8-1 person. I'm an 8-2 person. I'm not trying to introduce them to guilt and condemnation. Nobody got to heaven feeling guilty. You know, we've had those preachers. Well, you got to go to hell if you don't repent your sin. Right now, there's a sinner in this room. God's got his eye on you. And I could smell the smoke of the pit of hell all over your life. I think it's right there, back here. Yeah, you, sir, stand up. God wants to save your soul. How many people got saved like that? I'm like, no, I don't think so. It's like, wow. Are we introduce a God, a father that's got this big club going, go ahead, mess up. Go ahead. Poop in your diaper one more time. Just try it. Go ahead. Poop in your diaper one more time. I'm going to knock you from here to kingdom come. How many would do that to your kids? They'd be like, okay. You don't teach them through guilt and condemnation. You teach them through the spiritual birthing process called formation. Everybody say formation.
Formation.
What is formation? Oh, well, in the natural, and if I may, I've got two beautiful pregnant women on the front row. Would you mind being examples? Three of them. Okay, all three of you pregnant girls, come here. Come here. Just stand over here. Actually, stand up on the steps. Yeah, come on. You're not going to topple over. Just stand straight. Don't stand sideways. Just stand. Come on, Nicole. Okay. Don't try to cover it. Okay, just stand straight. Just stand straight. Stand straight. Aw, so cute. Now, I want you to see something in the natural. Something is forming in them. You have any idea? It's a life. And this life will be birth of the water. Guys, what happens when she says, sweetheart, my water broke? What does that tell you? Huh? Time to go, right? Okay, if you all don't know that, it's time to go. And if you're real experienced, you're thinking, oh, we got 24 hours, no big deal, we'll get there, let's get hamburger before we go. But just stay standing there for a minute, because this is a beautiful sight. The Bible says in Galatians 4:19, and mothers know well the process of natural formation. Put up Galatians 4:19 if you can. My little children, now look at this scripture. This is incredible. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again. So Paul now draws the analogy that Jesus introduced, and he said, just like labor in the natural and the formation process in the natural, so also again I labor in the birth process until Christ is formed in you. Something's forming in you guys, right? Now, you've had a baby, so you got experience. You know what's in there. What's in there? A baby. Girl? A girl. There's a girl in there. Isabella's in there. Okay. And you've had a couple kids, so you know what's in there. It's no surprise.
It'll be a surprise,
but it'll be either one or the other, right? It's a baby. Okay, work with the preacher. And you've had a couple kids, and you know that it's a baby in there, right? Okay. And you know the process of formation. Is that correct? Because like when you first find out that you're pregnant, you're all like shapely and thin and walking around, just all boop, boop, right? And then about a month into it, you're starting to feel a formation happening. What's the first thing? Is it bloating? What's the first thing that happens? Okay, I mean, you have to go to the bathroom all the time. Bloating, nauseousness. You're like, something's up. Something's forming in me. Then after that, you're in about 6 weeks, 8 weeks. You're still wearing your regular clothes. You're like, how do I look, honey? You look great, baby. And then about 3 months in, you can't hide it anymore. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. Nicole, I want you to take a step to your left and turn sideways. No, don't cover it. No, cover it. Okay. Okay, you see what's in there? You see it's forming in there? Okay. I love that. Look at that. There. That's a baby in there. Okay, turn sideways. No, there you go. Now, it's obvious they're in the formation process.
Yes.
Now, you all stay like that and look at me over here.
Gosh.
Don't be embarrassed. It's beautiful. I'm so thankful that you guys are pregnant. This works, man. If I didn't have any pregnant women in here, I'd be like, how do I going to illustrate this? Because you in the natural know the formation process, what to expect, and the change that's required of your own lives. So Paul got the truth when he said, my little children, my little mothers, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. This is only the beginning. This is the first birth. But there is another labor that's coming, that God has given you an anointing and a powerful equipping. Every mother in this room, if you birth the child or you never really birth the natural child, listen to me. You have been given by virtue of your gender, as a result of your motherhood, your womanhood, you have the power and association with God Almighty to not only birth naturally and form naturally this baby, but to form your children after the Spirit of God. And this is the call of God on every mother. Thank you. Come on, I'll hold your hand. Don't fall down these steps. Be careful. Don't go. Melissa, wait.
I'm fine.
No. Now you're good. All right. Give him a hand. Come on. Woo. I love it. Church is growing. Woo. Okay. I'm almost done. So, God has done all he can possibly do to give you freedom and guilt-free living. He sent his son. He gave you the Holy Spirit. And he gave you a spiritual mom. If your natural mom isn't doing it, there's a spiritual mom in this room somewhere that will help form Christ in you. It's just what they do. Spiritual women understand the birthing process and are not content to let you live a life below your calling and destiny, but will gently urge you on. And when you mess up, they'll send you a card and say, honey, I still believe in you. God wipes up and cleans up messes. Don't you worry about it. We're going to be all right. And I want you to know that. We should never condemn people. We should never make people feel guilty for doing something that's very natural under the law of sin and death. It really is an indictment upon us as birthers if all they do is sit in their mess. We ought to be forming Christ in them so they can get out from under the condemnation, quit repenting from, and start repenting toward. Now I'm going to close with the scripture. Jesus is hanging on the cross, John 19, verses 26 and 27. He's about to die. He's about to give his life for the world. And he looks down and he sees people standing around the cross. And he sees his mom. Mary, would you be Mary? Okay. And Jim, would you be John? John, you stand over there. And Mary, you stand over here. Jesus is on the cross, and at the foot of his cross is Mary, his mother. Standing with her is John, the beloved. And Jesus says this, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, and that's not a disrespectful term, that's actually a term of honor and endearment in the Greek. He said, woman, behold your son. Jesus is about to die. Mary said, no, you're my son. But she understood the principle of spiritual birthing. You've birthed me to my purpose. I'm about to die. Mom, you brought me to my place. I believe that Mary not only birthed Jesus naturally, but helped form in him his purpose and call. Then he says to John, John, behold thy mother. You know, that bewildered me for a long time until I got to Mother's Day. And I said, God, what were you doing? And he said, just like Mary birthed spirit life, now it was time for Jesus to birth in John only that which a mother can form. Because John was about to become a revelator and stand under heavy persecution. And his destiny wasn't going to be pretty. And he knew to try to do it apart from a mother who can help birth him into his destiny, it wouldn't happen. So he said, before I go, Mom, take over. And this is now your son. And birth him into his future and his destiny. I believe that is a powerful spiritual truth. Thank you all. You can sit. But I want you to know today, if you're looking for your purpose and your destiny, there are spiritual mothers in this room who will help bring Christ until he be formed in you. It's because that's what they do. You know, most women, you don't have to teach them to be mothers. They know how. In the spirit, you know how too. What's the difference? Here's the difference. Jesus said to the angel, be it done unto me according to your word. He said, the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. You're going to become pregnant. She said, be it done unto me according to your word. And the word impregnated Mary. If you're going to birth, if you're going to be a spiritual birther, if you're going to be a spiritual mother in the kingdom of God, you're going to have to become impregnated by the word of God. Every woman in here, it's time for you to say no to the world and yes to the word. And say to the Holy Ghost, be it done unto me according to your word. Why? Because there are children who are orphans in this age who must have spiritual mothers who are able to bring them in to their purpose and their destiny. It doesn't matter if they're going to be boiled with oil. It doesn't matter if they're going to be in an isle called Patmos. It doesn't matter if they're going to be persecuted and imprisoned and beaten. Because there's something in them of a higher law. And I want to challenge every mother in here today to be a spiritual birther as well as a giver of life. It is the call of God upon you. And I want to pray for you right now. Father, every woman in this room, Father, I thank you. You have given them as gifts to the kingdom of God. Every woman in this room is powerful. They are able to give natural birth. They are able to form life, new life. Right in their own body, they birth new life and give life. And Father, I know that they can now, as spiritual mothers, birth and form Christ, not only in their own children, but in those in this body, that we would bring this community of faith into their purpose and into their destiny. Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. In Jesus' name. Now, if you're here today with your heads are bowed, and I'm just praying for you, I'm believing that God has a plan for your life. While you're praying and bowing your head, I had a young man come to me this morning, early service. He said, I just buried my mom this week. He said, my heart's broken. I said, listen, you're in the right place, honey. You're in the right place. God understands. Was she born again? Yeah. She taught me all about church. I have to tell you, I haven't really gone to church much, but she's in heaven. I said, well, now let her be a mother to you after her death that you would not permit her to be in her life. Let her birth you in the realm of the Spirit. He began to weep. I believe it was a word of the Lord. I believe it was a prophetic word for him. And I believe it's a prophetic word to some of you. If you're young people here today, you've been resisting your spiritual birthing of your mother. God has given you a gift called mom to bring you into spiritual life. And some of you are here today and you don't have that. Like my mom, she was a hurting woman. She didn't know the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. But I've had some spiritual mothers in my life who have brought formation of Christ in me. I owe them a debt of gratitude. Find one today. Seek one out. Don't be satisfied with an orphan spirit. Don't be satisfied with a condemning guilt life. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. I release you into the kingdom of God today in a new level and a new understanding. Moms, when it gets tiring, when the baby cries for the last time and you think you're about to explode and lose it, when you're tired of the dirty diapers and you're tired of the wash and you're tired of all the resistance and tired of the homework and everything that comes with rearing children, just realize you're not alone. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit. You see, you gave life in the natural. Now God says, let's work together and bring life in the Spirit to this son or daughter. That's what it's about. You are birthing prophets. You're birthing apostles. You're birthing gifted spiritual insights and seers. You're birthing very talented people in business. You're birthing those that are going to be successful in life to be strategic in the kingdom. Why? Because God has joined you as his partner. What a high call. Moms, I honor you today. And I say thank you for all that you've done and poured into our lives. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, if I were to die today, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Man, you're talking about all this spiritual formation. I never really have served God, but I want to do it now. Would you pray for me? Of course we're going to pray for you. Because you know what? We're not afraid of smelly diapers. And we're not going to condemn anybody because you've messed up. We come to church with diaper bags. That's right. We come to church with nurseries. We come to church with children's ministry. Because we understand, and not only in the natural, but in the spiritual. And you're on a journey until Christ be formed in you. We believe in you. You've got lots of potential, baby. Don't you listen to the devil. Don't you listen to the condemning voice of your past. Because your future is greater than your past. And God has you on a journey. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need that prayer. I'm going to count to three, and then I'm going to ask you to acknowledge it. All you got to do is raise your hand. Man, how easy is that? I mean, that's a simple acknowledgement. But it's an act of the heart. Are you ready? One, two, three. If you need that prayer, just hold it up. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Over there. Thank you over there. And thank you up here. Thank you over there. God bless you. You can put your hands down. If you've already put your hands up, you don't have to do it again. But if you feel prompted, if you feel led, you feel like, man, I really need to respond here because this is something that God really is calling me to. I got to say yes to this prayer. Come on, Pastor, include me in this prayer. I didn't raise my hand the first time, but I'm going to do it right now. This is your opportunity. Come on, shoot it up there. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Anybody else? High enough for me to see it? Thank you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Christians are praying all around you. You know, they're laboring with you. They're birthing you in the Spirit. Anybody else? Last time. All right. Let's all stand up. Altar ministers, would you join me across the front? Let's believe God for a supernatural response, and I'm doing good. All right. Come on. We got to get to that Mother's Day reservation. But we got some other reservations to make first. So you raise your hand before you go out that door. I want you to come this way. And I want you to do me a favor, church. Come on. If you're standing around somebody, look, they might look saved, but ask them anyway. Do you need that prayer? If you do, I'll go with you. Take them by the hand and walk them to this altar. If you raise your hand, would you come right now? Go ahead and sing. If you raise your hand, come right now. Come right now. Those in the back, they're in the middle. Don't be afraid. We're just going to pray with you. That's all. You're not joining this church. My God, that's not what we're looking for. We're just looking to help you join the kingdom. All right? Come on. That's you. About 7, 8, 9, 10 people. Raise your hand. We want you to come and just be prayed for. Let's close the deal. Let's sign the deal. Let's get this done. Amen? Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands up to heaven. Let's worship Jesus. Come on. Let's worship the Lamb. Let's worship our King. Let's give Him praise. Let's give Him glory. Let's give Him honor. Let's give Him all that's due His name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We honor you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. We honor you, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless your holy name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Come on, don't miss this prayer. Don't miss this prayer. You need healing in your body. Don't miss this prayer. Come on, church. You could be healed this morning. You could be delivered in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Real quick, I want to say Pastor Adam and Jenna are getting married on the 23rd, I think, of May. And they need volunteers to help out with the reception. Where is Tiffany Morgan? Oh, there you are, Tiffany. Come over here so everybody can see you. Stand up here. If you can help, beautiful Tiffany will take your name. And are you going to be in the back?
In the back.
Okay, she'll be in the back. You'd like to sew into Adam and Jenna, they're needing help and volunteers, you come see Tiffany, okay? God bless all of you. Be careful going down. We love you. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. Don't forget Wednesday night. I think Pastor Anderson's preaching this Wednesday. Come out and support them. It's going to be a great Bible study. Be friendly on your way out. God bless you.